Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family, because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 1.9% for up to 72 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
Hello. How are you? How has your last week been? I know I asked this after a week and you can't really answer me, but it's nice to be nice. I did say last week that I was going to try and record this week's one on the great outdoors, but being in Glasgow, it rained, so it's not happened yet. I also said Ainsley might be on this week, but she's not because she's unwell. So, basically everything I said to you last week, scrap it, it's not happening. We are planning and still doing an outdoor recording. I'm also considering, I don't know if any of you have seen my social media, but I put a poll up, I think I said this last week, I don't know. I've either had Groundhog Day or I'm imagining things, but anyway, I'll say it again if I did. If not, I'm saying it for the first time. I put a poll up asking about whether you prefer your podcast visual or audio. And I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. I know I do prefer mine visual. Sorry, lies, all lies. I prefer mine audio. I like to listen, maybe when I'm out walking or lying in my bed, whatever. I like to listen, but I do that with books as well sometimes, depending on the book. But like I just said, depending on the book, sometimes I like to read it. The same way podcasts, sometimes I like to watch them, depending on what they're about and the kind of topics we're doing on them, etc. So I've got all the equipment, like there's no reason for me not to record them visually as well as audio. So that's something that will come soon. I'm not going to say it's imminent. I've told you before, I'm blonde naturally, which means that not everything comes as easy to me, but anyway, it will happen within, I'm hoping within the next 3 or 4 weeks, because the topic I'm going to do today, I was planning doing this as two topics, but I think I'm going to do it as two topics and one type thing, but carry it over to next week. This one's about expectations of females and expectations of males, not even just the expectations, but also how it makes you feel. Obviously, I can only speak from a female's perspective, so I'm hoping by next week I should have a few male perspectives on that. If you are male or female listening and you would like to give your tuppence worth, as my granny would say, if you want to add your bit to it, please get in touch. I'd love to hear like what you're thinking, and if you think anything I'm saying wrong, please correct me, because again, I can only speak from my point of view, my experience. I can't really speak on your point of view, your experience, which is why it's good to have discussions. Let's just talk about my last week. It's not really much been done. I am freezing. Can I just say I put my heating on for the very first time today? My feet are ice. I feel as if it's like November getting into December. I don't feel as if it's August. I had huge plans of everything being outdoors. Ain't happening. I put a washing out yesterday, a whitewashing might I add. And within about an hour or two, it pelted it down. If you don't know what pelted means, it like really heavy rain. And it's not stopped. So that washing's still out there. I need to bring it back in and rewash it. We're back in the swing of things with school, doing school runs. I don't think I've said to you before, but I have to adapt my working hours to whether schools are on or schools are off and who's working and who's not working and blah, blah, blah. I'm a single parent. I have two sons, obviously, grown sons. One's working now. He's out doing his own thing, but still lives here and is very much a big help to me. My other son is mid to late teens, but still at school. He also has additional needs. So it makes it a bit harder when we're doing work and things. And so I just adapt my diary, my working diary, to his needs. So that's all changing again, because I, like I said, I change it. So 2 months ago we changed it for school holidays, and now we're back to changing it for school being on. But nothing much really else is happening. I went to go and visit, did I tell you this last week? I don't know what day I went. We went to go and visit a shop with Ainsley last week, but I can't remember what day it was. Actually, I think I might have told you, because I think it was Tuesday. Oh, what a crocker that was. We were supposed to be going on a fairy trail, but again, the rain prevented, and Ainsley being unwell prevented. I've got a friend, I don't think I've told you this one actually, one of my best friends. So I've got two best friends, Ainsley and another one, Danielle. Danielle lives in Turkey with her husband and her kids. She's originally from Glasgow. She's going to be coming on the podcast at some point as well. She's going to talk about the other side of living abroad. So she's going to give that from her perspective. But yeah, she lives in Turkey and she's coming home for a week. Today she comes home. I'm sure she flies tonight at some point. So that'd be good to see her and the kids. Although her children do bully me, might I add. I accuse everybody of bullying me, to be fair. So usually when I'm saying they're bullying me, just ignore me. But yeah, let's get into this one. So, females, how do you think the world sees you? Or how do you think the opposite sex sees you? The younger generation, older generation, depending on what age you are. Obviously, most of us are born into a certain sex. And I know some people do transition into the opposite sex at some point in life. And that is absolutely their choice. And I'm all for everybody having their own choice. But I'm just generally talking at the minute about people that were born female or born male. We can obviously bring anybody in that's transitioned. We can bring their opinion in if they'd like to write in. Give us insight into their perspective, how they've found things. But when I give out my information, this is generally about if you're born female or born male. I just want to clarify that. So obviously when you're born, everybody loves you and you're the cutest thing and blah blah blah, and then we start to grow up and we're all different. So when we're born, we're the same. We grow up and we change, sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad, sometimes indifferent. But also, as we're growing, you don't just grow up like from child to adult. You're continuously growing throughout your whole life. Even as an adult, you're continuously growing, you're continuously learning, and you can always better yourself as well. But you also have to be mindful of your own feelings, which could be another subject. So obviously, couple of expectations of females. Everybody always thinks when you grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids as a female, and you're potentially going to stop work to look after those kids. Obviously, that depends on financial situations. It can also depend on whether you want to stop work. You might have a career, you might not have a career, but you might still want to go back to work because that's your one stable thing. That's your thing that is you. You can get lost being a mum. But again, just because that's everybody's expectations of you doesn't mean that's what you want. So growing up, we get to preteen. And for girls, it can be anything from 9, 10 upwards. girls' bodies start changing, hormones, and obviously the dreaded period comes along. But when we are grown and when our bodies are changing, you've got to remember that these are all changes on the a lot of these changes are on the inside. Obviously there are some changes to your structure on the outside, but a lot of changes are happening on the inside, and we don't understand these changes. This is all, these hormones are flying about the place, and obviously they can cause mood swings, they can cause us to change, we can start reacting differently, start treating people a bit differently, especially people that are close to us. And that is the joy of hormones. But I think sometimes we need to sit, especially children or preteens, young teens, we need to sit them down and explain that the way you're feeling is normal, and we've all gone through that, and that it's your hormones, it's your body changing, it's your body adjusting to this new cycle. Because we don't automatically think of it like that, especially if it's something new. But like I said, then comes the dreaded period. And for most women, you've got that for the next potentially 30, 40, 50 years, depending how long your period continues for. But obviously with periods, that means that you're potentially able to conceive naturally. And again, that's not always the case either. And if you are unable to conceive naturally, that's not on you. That's nothing you've done wrong. It's, I suppose, your makeup. But it doesn't mean to say that you can't have babies. But anyway, this is more about expectations at the minute. So you get to secondary school, high school, whatever you want to call it, and it's time to knuckle down. I think going back to when I was at school, and I've thought about this more over the last few years, few months, more so maybe recently, when I think back to when I was at high school, we weren't really pushed to think about what career we wanted. We weren't really pushed to try hard, I suppose. We weren't given any kind of encouragement. There's a lot of things that weren't done. And I think if we had a bit more encouragement, there would be more of us that would have stayed on at school. We all know I left school as soon as I could. Maybe more of us would have a career. And it's quite sad to think about, because when I think about all the different careers that I potentially could have had, because I do have a brain in there, as my mum keeps telling me, oh, you've got a brain in there, but you don't always use it. No bother, Helen. So when I think about all the different careers that I could have had, and some, yeah, might have been an interest to me, some not. For example, I would definitely not be in any kind of medical field, apart from the fact I'm definitely not intelligent enough to be a doctor. I don't like blood. I don't like needles. We've determined this in the podcast about my son ending up in hospital in Spain. Don't like blood, don't like needles, don't like all the gory bits, and I definitely don't want to be cleaning anybody's backsides. It's hard enough when you're changing your own baby's nappies and cleaning up their sick. I don't want to be cleaning up strangers, because it all makes me heave, makes me want to be sick. So that's one that we could rule out. But when you think about, like for example, I only started training into counselling or considering counselling in my 30s. Didn't fully start up my own business until I was, I don't even know what age I was. I want to say 40, 39, 40. I don't know, round about then. Might have been 41. Actually, yeah, it might have been 41. 40, 41, somewhere like that. Because obviously I can't tell you what age I am, but I also forgot what age I was for a minute. But yeah, that counselling is not something that was ever spoken about back then, maybe. So maybe if I had been told about it or had an insight about it, I potentially might have chose that. Again, I might not. But when I thought about things like lawyers back then, I always thought, oh, you had to be rich, or you had to come from that kind of family, you had to be really intelligent. And yeah, you do have to be intelligent for these kind of jobs. But again, nobody, there was nobody to inspire you, there was nobody to be your cheerleader, there was nothing. But whereas I think nowadays kids know, and maybe because we've learned, our generation's learned from our past. Yeah, so we maybe learned from our past and what we didn't get, so we maybe encourage our kids a bit more, because I have noticed that with both my boys, everybody in their year, or the majority, not everybody, because obviously some people leave a bit earlier, but children these days tend to stay on right up until they're 18. Obviously they can leave when they're 16, but you kind of want them, if they're leaving at that age, you want them to be leaving to go into further education or an apprenticeship or a job or something. Sound a bit like my mum now, don't I? So, and but I do think also they get a bit more encouragement at school, but again, it depends what teachers they've got. Some teachers are good at it and some teachers, I think, aren't so great. I do think a lot of teachers are maybe in the wrong job, but then again, you can say that about anybody. I've definitely had interactions, we'll put it that way, with a few teachers about how they speak to people, how they speak to their pupils, how they teach, and maybe their expectations. But also, if you're not teaching the right way, and I'm not digging out teachers, so please do not come for me. For example, my son has additional support needs. You need to explain things a certain way to him. This school knows this, and it doesn't always happen, which means that he can lack in education sometimes. He can lack in his learning because he won't ask the question, and that's due to his additional needs. He won't ask. You have to have eyes on him and see that he's struggling and go and quietly talk to him and ask him the question. But again, that can be with anybody. You don't even need to be having additional support needs for that to happen. That could be somebody that's shy, somebody that's maybe just struggling with their learning, maybe in their own class. So yeah, kind of flew off the handle a wee bit there, but being able to sit and think about all the different career options that are out there. Like, you've got the army, you've got nurseries, you've got teaching, you've got doctors, you've got nurses, you could be your own person, you could have your own business. You might want to work in a shop, you might want to work in an office, you could be a lawyer, you could be a physiotherapist. The list is endless, but it's letting people know the list is endless. It's letting people know all these different careers are out there. Journalism, for example, you could become a writer, you might become an author. So letting people know and letting them know what they need to do to get to go down this route or whatever route they choose. But that's not just about females, that's about males as well. But I think with females, it's definitely, in my day, it was more seen as you females were supposed to do certain jobs, one of them being a mother, and other jobs were more for men. But obviously now we've got a bit more equality, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and I don't know that you'll... Some people agree with what I'm saying and some people maybe not. But again, that's just difference of opinion, and that's why we have discussions. So yeah, so you go through school, maybe go to college, maybe go to university, and you've got your job. Then you get to a certain age and people think, when are you getting married? Now, marriage isn't for everybody. I personally have never, ever sat and thought about what my wedding day would be like. And I do know that there's so many young girls out there who sit and dream about their wedding day, and I think that's amazing, and it warms my heart to think about it. It's just not for me. It's just never been something that I have dreamt about. Not to say that I would never get married. I mean, I do say quite a lot, I'll never get married, but it's not to say, we do joke about that. It's not something that's on my to-do list. It's not something that's on my bucket list. I would rather be with somebody, currently not with anybody, I'd rather be with somebody, know that they love me and they want to be with me and vice versa, and be happy. That ring, that bit of paper, that whatever, It's just, it's not important to me. There's other things that are more important. Like, I always knew I wanted to be a mum. Always knew I wanted to have children. But that wasn't due to expectations. That's just, I have such a maternal instinct. I was always the one to babysit. I was always the first one to go and see somebody if they had a baby. Even as a child, if any of our neighbours had a baby, I was right at that door as soon as they came home from hospital. I wanted to see the baby. I wanted to hold the baby, whatever. So it's always been in my makeup to be a mum. But on the flip side, not everybody wants to be a mum. Some people want to have a career. Some people just want to live their best life. And whatever you choose to do, that's amazing. And that is amazing for you, as long as it's what you want to do, not what anybody else wants you or expects you to do. Don't put your expectations on someone else, because you could be making them live a miserable life. So expecting people to have babies, and what if they're having conception problems but they don't want to discuss it with you, and you're constantly badgering them about having a baby, not knowing that they've been trying maybe for years and years or months and months, and you're making this process more difficult for them, more heartbreaking. And this isn't me playing a blame game at all. It's just, be careful with your words, because you don't know what's going on in somebody's life, in their head, behind closed doors. We obviously, giving birth again, it's an expectation that you give birth naturally. Doesn't always happen. Some people have to have cesarean sections. Some people have to use a surrogate. And either of these ways are absolutely fine, as long as it's what you want and it's keeping you healthy, keeping you happy, and your baby comes along and brings you the joy that you always imagined holding your precious little baby. But we need to think about after the birth. After a lady has a baby, you can't just expect them to be up cooking the dinners and blah blah blah. Now, I will openly admit, I am the worst. I can't sit down. So when I had my first, I was young. I fell pregnant at 19, had them just before I turned 20. But I was very strong-willed. I was determined to be the best mum I can be, could be. But I do not like staying in hospitals. I don't mind going to visit. I don't mind going to appointments. I do not like staying in hospitals. So I had to be induced, not very early, just a few days a week, something like that. A few days, I think it was like 4 days early, 5 days early, I was getting induced. So I goes in on a Friday. I was to be in the Friday afternoon, goes in the Friday, and that was fine. They took me to the ward, and they have to give you this gel capsule thing, don't know, they insert it inside you. And it was great. Within an hour, I was getting contractions. Bloody amazing. I thought, this is a breeze. This is going to be over in no time. How wrong was I? Everybody else in the ward was all jealous because I was getting contractions, and they were coming thick and fast, quite quickly, and they weren't feeling anything. They were all getting like their second gel, some maybe even a third. So my mum was going to be my birthing partner. And she was sent home, I think, maybe about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And they said, don't get too comfortable. I think we'll be phoning you through the night to come in for delivery. She's like, right, okay. Ha, no, 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 no. That didn't happen. She came in the next morning. They still had to break my waters. Fuming. Absolutely fuming. Because everybody else, I was the last man standing. Everybody else had been taken through, went into labour through the night, and I was the last man standing. Absolutely raging. So during this pregnancy, it was, my son was so lazy. Didn't move. I was on monitors. Towards the end, I was on monitors every day to monitor his movement, because I couldn't feel any movement at all. I don't know if it was because he was so big or what, because I was quite petite and he was £8.9, but he was long, She was taking up quite a bit of space. So yeah, and he's still, we'll say, laid back, horizontal at the minute, although he does work very hard. But yeah, 25 hours after getting my first gel, baby was born. So yeah, that was my experience, but I had a lot of issues after. I mean, apart from the obvious, you're sore, you're tired, you're whatever. I thought I was Wonder Woman. I lost a lot of blood, very anemic, very, very everything. So I had known of people that came out of hospital the same day that they had their baby. That wasn't my experience, unfortunately. I get kept in because I was supposed to get a blood transfusion, which I didn't get, but we'll not go into that. I think I thought the same as what everybody else thinks, is you have a baby, especially if you have it natural, at a natural birth, which I did. Kind of just came out of hospital and everything's hunky-dory and whatever, but they wanted me to stay in. So I had been in Friday, gave birth on the Saturday, Sunday, the Monday I was still in, and there was no signs of them letting me home. So here's where Ailing kind of came up with a wee plan. So my mum's a nurse, was a nurse, she retired a couple of years ago, but she was off work at the time that I went in to have my baby, and I was living with her at that point, temporary. So I phoned her and I said, oh, I'm getting home, can you come up and get me? Remember to bring the car seat. My mum and my dad toddle up to the hospital, come and get me. And the nurse walks in and they sees me getting my baby dressed and the car seat's sitting there, and she's like, where do you think you're going? And my answer was, home. So then, bearing in mind, I'm a parent at this point and an adult, I get into trouble with my mum, I get in trouble with my dad, I get in trouble with the nurse. Mum's like, you told me the nurse said you could come home. So I had to admit that I was lying. But I felt fine, kinda, sort of. So I convinced my mum to convince the nurse to let me home. So my mum's given it, I'm a nurse, she's living with me, I can check for any signs, blah, blah, blah. And the nurse is like, I'm still not keen to let her home. So yeah, sorry, my phone just went there. The nurse wasn't midwife, wasn't keen on me going home. But she did agree to speak to my doctor, my consultant. So I had to wait an agonising hour for them to say, yeah, you can go. Don't get me wrong, I did say to them, if you don't let me, I will climb out the window. And if I need to leave the baby here, I'll come back and get him. I mean, obviously I would never have done that. But in my head, it was a threat. Because I wanted to go home. I wasn't staying in there for another day. So that was fine. Came home. And it was in the summer. And it was an amazing summer that year. Like right from March, sort of mid to end of March, right through to beginning of the middle of October, something like that. The sun was splitting the skies. There was not a break in between at all. Like, we had an amazing summer that year. So I was always out with the pram. So yeah, comes home, gets all settled, gets something to eat, whatever. And then we decide, my mum was going to go to Asda, which is about a 10 minute walk, maybe 15 at a push, if depending on how fast you're walking. So I says, oh, I'll come with you. And she was like, no, you're staying in. You're, because, I mean, I was as white as a ghost. Nah, I'm coming. I collapsed. So I get made to sit on the bench at the front door of Asda while she went in and done her shopping. Came back, and luckily on the way back were taxi driver. He was a taxi driver, a black hack. So he stopped and gave us a lift so we could get the pram and everything in. And then that was me. I wasn't allowed out again for nearly a month. I was bedbound. But I tried. Do you not always say to people, you don't know unless you try? I would never have known that I could not make that walk if I never tried. And what would have happened if I'd done it on my own? Do you know what I mean? Like, everything happens for a reason. So yes, after you give birth, it's not as easy as just going and getting on with it. So if your partner, family member, friend has just given birth or is due to give birth, please look out for them. Do as much as you can for them, even if it is just making that cup of tea that they can't have because they're feeding a baby or changing a baby, bathing a baby. They're just tired in general. Please help them. I kind of did do the same thing the second time I was in having my second son. Didn't collapse this time. Didn't almost hemorrhage, I don't think. But did annoy the midwives. The worst that I did almost hemorrhage, that's a lie. The worst thing they done though was put me in a bed. It was one of the single bedrooms, but it was right at the nurse's station, midwife station, because I was bleeding so heavy. So that was the worst, that was their number one mistake. I did get in trouble with my mum and I was warned, do not tell them you want to go home. Do not badger them to get home. You stay in as long as you have to. And I was like, no chance. So, in the Wednesday, had them on the Thursday. Friday, I was still in. I was not happy. Like, I should have been out on the Wednesday if you ask me. My mum brought my oldest up on the Wednesday, no, the Thursday, sorry, Friday. Losing my days. On the Friday, they came up to visit. No, I think it was the Thursday. Oh, I'm lost. When did I have them? I had them on the Wednesday. Yeah, so this was the Friday. My mum came up on the Friday. She came up just before lunch. That was fine. They left about 7. That was fine. 9 o'clock, I phoned her to say I was coming home. 9 o'clock at night, may I add. And that was purely because I badgered those poor midwives. They must have been like, just get her out of here. Just let her go. Just. So then I had to sign forms and everything to say that it was my choice to leave and blah, de blah, blah. But again, I don't recommend leaving until you're advised. I'm my own worst enemy, but I just don't like staying in hospitals. I really don't like it, and I didn't like being away from my son. Had never been away from him. The only time he'd ever been away is if he stayed overnight with my mum. And again, I would pick him up like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, be careful. But that means natural births. So if you think about C-sections, it's a longer healing process. You need a lot more help. You need a lot more hands-on help. You need a lot of support. And be mindful. Just be there for each other. Just be there for everybody. It might even be that they just want somebody to talk to them as an adult, and not going and gang over a baby. Like when you go to visit somebody that's just with a baby, pay them as much attention as you're paying the baby, because they kind of feel as if you're not there to see them if you're just all for the baby. And then we get older. Time goes on. Time goes on. And again, I'm just quickly going over this, and I will go over it more in depth as this episode and the next episode goes, but I just want to kind of give a brief outlook of the kind of topics we're going to talk about. And it's, again, the expectations, and I know I'm giving some of my stories, but again, it's alien stories. Like, alien stories are definitely out there. I don't think there's people that, I don't want to say make the same mistakes as me, because it's not mistakes I've made, it's just I like what I like and I don't like what I don't like. And we're all entitled to that. We're all entitled to feel comfortable in certain situations. And if you feel uncomfortable in another situation, then if taking yourself away from that situation is what works for you, do it, as long as it's safe. But yeah, then we start to get older, don't we? Because you've had the kids. The kids start to grow up. Kids start to go to nursery. Kids start going to school. And if you are a stay-at-home mum, which I was for a long time, I was very ill, surprise, surprise, after having my first, to the point where I was almost having to go in for operations and different things. I had to then go on long-term sick. I think my son was 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, something like that. I went on long-term sick and from my job. And obviously they can't keep it open forever for you, can they? I mean, they're small businesses. Or this one in particular was a small business. And then I became a full-time mum. Well, I was a full-time mum, but you know what I mean. I didn't have a job, so it was, priorities was on that. Then he went to nursery, then he went to school. And round about, just before him starting nursery, Again, my mum would disagree. She would say it was sooner. My mental health started to take a rapid decline. So I had to concentrate on that, concentrate on my son. And I think I went back to work when he was maybe 12. And obviously I had two sons by this point. My youngest was five-ish. Yeah, I think he was five or four and a half, five when I went back to work full time. At this point, I didn't have hadn't started up any of my businesses. This was an employer. And that's a juggle in itself. You are trying to juggle being a parent. You're trying to juggle running a house. You're trying to juggle a full-time job. In my personal situation, I was a single parent doing all this on my own. Some people do have a partner. Some people don't. Some people have family members round about. I did have family members, but most of them worked. My mum worked full-time. My dad was living down in England by this point, and my brother could help sometimes. My gran could kind of help sometimes, but you would either need to go and pick her up and bring her to my house or my mum's house, or drop the boys at hers. But then if you drop the boys at hers, they're bored all day. It's one of the ones, it's a catch 22. But then you're getting older and you're thinking, you're seeing your children growing up and you're seeing different things, and you start getting different emotions in your body. You start thinking about children's future. You start thinking about your future. You're starting to think about where you want to be. Do you want to stay in the house you're in? Do you want to move? Do you want to stay in the job you're in? Do you want to move jobs? Do you want to try and go for promotion? Do you want to retrain? Which obviously I done. So yeah, there's all these different things as you get older. It's like, it's not problems. It's just a different outlook on life. Some things might be a problem, but problems can normally be solved, sometimes with a bit of support. And for females, as we get older, we obviously know hormones, our hormones change all the time, especially from month to month, year, whatever, and then we get to the point where menopause is looming. And when you know you're starting to get near this menopause age, you start to think about whether you want more children again. I mean, you probably don't. Personally, I would have had more children if I was in a different situation, but I wasn't. But then at that point when I was thinking about it again, it was more so because it's almost like you're grieving what you no longer can have, or potentially what's going to be taken away from you. So you're grieving because your body's changing, which means that at some point in the coming years, that choice is taken away from you. So it wasn't necessarily that I wanted a baby at that point, but that choice was going to be taken away from me soon. So was this going to be my last chance to have a baby? Should I just have a baby? Just because? And that's not a reason to have a baby. You don't do that. You don't have a baby just because you might never be able to have one again. You have a baby because you want to have a baby and you're going to love that baby. And I would have loved and cherished any babies that I would have had. But yeah, that was more because I knew I was getting to menopause age. And you can kind of roughly judge when menopause is going to kick in. It's normally from, you take it from your mum's side of the family. So you go by your mum's, her sisters, her mum, that sort of thing. What rough age did they start, and that will roughly give you a guide of when you start. So mine start, my family, it starts quite young. So I think about 36, 37 I started to think maybe I am. Now bearing in mind I am not in my 30s anymore, I am in my 40s. But it took, I would say, wait to account now, you're saying 6-7 years before anybody even considered help me with perimenopause, which is obviously the lead up to full-blown menopause. And one of the things a lot of doctors will say to you is, oh, you're too young. You're not quite old enough. It can't be that. Well, actually, I'm not too young. I am old enough. And it can be that because menopause can happen at any age. Although there is a certain age where it's more likely to happen, and there's ages where it's less likely to happen, but it doesn't mean to say that it's not going to happen. out with those ages. So that, I think a lot of doctors need to be more clued up on that. They need a bit more, I don't know if training's the right word, but maybe a little update, a little notification. And like when you were preteens, like we spoke about, when you're preteens and you've got the hormones and everything changing and you see your body's changing, the same happens when you get to the other end of the scale, where you're menopausal, perimenopausal, had babies, whatever it may be, you see your body changing again. And I think a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, maybe even most people, struggle more with the body change as they get older. Obviously, you look in the mirror and you maybe don't recognise yourself at a certain point. I know there's some people will focus on their face, some people will focus on their legs, some people will focus on their belly. Everybody's got a different point of their body where they will focus. I'm quite good at making a joke of things, and I will always make a joke of something before I let anybody try and bring me down. I'll make a joke about myself. I'll take the absolute mick out myself. I was going to say something else there. Before anybody else can try and bring me down or try and make a fool of me. So yeah, I'm very good at that, and it's a defence mechanism which I've had to learn over the years for various reasons, and we might get into that at a different time. So yeah, body changing, and I think we all need to be a lot kinder to each other, a lot more mindful, be more positive towards each other. So like if you see somebody and they've had a baby, and I'm not saying go out there and like totally bum somebody up and lie just to make them feel better. I don't mean that, but give people compliments. Let people know that you care. Let people know that you love them. Let people know that they look good, they look amazing, they look whatever. Especially when somebody's just a baby, do not joke about their weight or how they look. I mean, you should never do that anyway. But definitely don't do it then. So that's like the expectations about people who have children. You've also, like I said before, you've got the expectations of you must get married. Just because you want one thing doesn't mean to say somebody else wants it. They might want to travel the world on their own. They might want to travel the world with friends. They might just want to move to another country. But again, just because it's not on your expectation list doesn't mean to say that it's not for them and that's not what they should do. Everybody's allowed to try something, because if you don't try, you're always going to think, what if? What if I had done that? What if I didn't do this or whatever? You don't want to live with what ifs. You want to live with, well, I tried that. It wasn't for me. Tried something else. That's my opinion. And I will always give my opinion. And I will always help. I will always big you up. I'll always be positive. Well, I won't always be positive, because there's obviously certain times of the month where I just can't be positive. But I will try my hardest. But let's move on to male expectations. Now, this is quite, I think with men, the problem is they don't talk. Women can talk forever. We will, majority of the time, open up. We will maybe give clues to how we're feeling, normally in our face or our tone of voice. But men don't give clues. Men don't open up. And this isn't all men. This is just, again, what people think. Men think that if they open up or they go and speak about their feelings, then they're not men anymore. We need to stop that. Like, who made that a thing? Who decided that was a rule for men? Because whoever did needs to go back to school. They need to educate themselves. We know that a lot of men will take their own lives before they will ask for help. And it's very common, and we see this more and more, especially because we've got social media nowadays. We've got online, you can watch the news online. You can basically see anything 24/7 just by having internet. So we see daily about men going missing, women as well, but obviously I'm talking about men at the minute, and I will go into the mental health side for women in a sec. But men are more frequently taking their own lives. They're going missing. They are harming themselves. you hear as well now about murder suicides, which is heartbreaking, but that's because somebody's, and this isn't just about men, this can be women that do this as well, their mental health or their current situation has got so bad that they do not see a way out. They don't even think asking for help would help. But they don't want to leave. Say, for example, they had somebody who had disabilities and or couldn't look after themselves or whatever. So they don't want to leave them because they don't know what is going to happen to them. This is where a lot of murder suicides come in. They take that person's life, then they take their own life. And they think they're doing it in their head because of how irrational their thoughts are at the time. They think they're doing a good thing. They think they're doing the right thing by doing that. But obviously, when you think rationally, that could have been prevented if someone had just asked for help. If they went to speak to a professional or a family member or a friend about their struggles, their thoughts, their fears even, that could have been prevented. But yeah, men, again, you're born, you're this cute little baby, everybody's going and gang over you, then you go to school, then you go to school and you start to grow up. And males also have hormones, which we don't talk about enough. We always, and I think it's because a lot of females joke when somebody says, oh, what's the matter with you? And you say, I'm hormonal. I mean, I could be hormonal 24/7, 365. If I was using that as an excuse, I'd just be like, I'm hormonal. It just rolls off the tongue too easy. And we're not always hormonal, but yeah. But men have hormones, men's bodies change, bodies change as they grow. When they start to become preteens, you might see their physique start to change. Then as teenagers, obviously you go through puberty and everything else, and all these hormones kick in, their voice changes, and that then changes their emotions. But for some reason, men, boys, teenagers, whatever, teenage males, are not allowed to be emotional. Why not? Again, who said this was a rule? Why can men not show their emotions, whether it be happy, sad, indifferent, whatever? But I think then once they get past that stage, they obviously leave school, go to college, go to uni or get a job, whatever it is they decide to do. But this is where all the expectations start coming in for men, is once they become, in inverted commas, an adult. From that day you become, from the day you're born, basically, but more so as you become an adult, there's, in my opinion, a lot of pressure on men. I have spoke to a few males who confirm some or all of what I'm talking about. Again, I'm going to try and get some quotes from people or some stories or whatever from people, males and females, about what it's like being grown up as that gender, their gender. So you've got the expectations of, you're a man and you now need to work for the rest of your days. You have to provide, you have to get married, you have to have children. But if you want to play about and do whatever, have fun, do this, do that, enjoy your life, you do that. You do you. Females don't get that. That's where one of the differences start coming in. Females are supposed to settle down, have this, do that, do that. Females are supposed to be virgins when they get married, blah, blah, blah. But men can go and sleep with as many men as they want. Women, men, whatever, whoever. They can have as many partners as they want leading up to before they get married, before they settle down. Go do you. You are a man. You are a champ. And then obviously, when they do settle down, they have the partner, wife, husband, whatever. They start having children. Then again, they're expected to work until retirement. I mean, yeah. But there's a lot of pressure on them about, you pay the bills. Oh, your wife shouldn't go back to work because she should be the mum. Or your husband, whatever, shouldn't go back to work. There should be one of you at home watching the babies and blah, blah, blah. But what if that man doesn't have an income that covers all the bills coming in, covers everything? What if they need both those but he doesn't want to tell his partner, his other half, that we need both wages coming in. Then the pressure starts mounting on them. Now, there is going to be people out there who can cover all their bills, but there's going to be many out there who can't. Then the pressure starts mounting, and then it starts to get unbearable, and everything, it's like a dark cloud starts coming over, it starts looming over you. What do you do? Who do you turn to? Realistically, you should be speaking to your partner, but if you don't want to worry them, go and speak to a friend or a family member or a professional. Do not build up how you're feeling inside, because that's when it all goes wrong. That's when it starts spiralling, and you're so busy thinking about what's happening, you're not thinking about how to fix it, how you can make it right, how you can do whatever, because you're too busy being a man. Man has to do this, man has to. It's like caveman, isn't it? Man has to provide. Man has to do whatever. But then, what if man doesn't want to be the sole provider? What if woman wants to be the sole provider, but man won't be the, let the woman be the sole provider, because everyone says man has to be sole provider. Whoever earns the most money, or whoever wants to be the sole provider, or whoever wants to be the stay-at-home parent, if yous can afford it, allow it. If yous want to take turns each, where yous both work, one works 3 days, one works 2 days, yous both work 3 days a week, whatever it may be, you do what's right for you and your family, and do not bat an eye, don't bat an eyelid about what anybody else has got to think, because they're not living your life. They're not paying your bills. They're not bringing up your children. So don't allow anybody else to tell you how you should be. Now, mental health in men is big. As I said earlier, it's huge. Sound like something out of Pretty Woman. Do you remember? Have you watched that? She goes into the shop. She's like, big mistake. Big. Huge. Yeah, men's mental health is an all-time high. And in Britain alone, the age group where it's more prominent, if that's the right word to use, where it's greater, higher, a higher percentage of men are taking their own life. In Britain alone, it's 21 to 35. At the last time I checked the results, it may change, and if it has changed, I will update that next week. Now, a lot of this is because man shows no emotion. And that's not because man doesn't want to show emotion, that's because man has been told man show no emotion. That's me doing my impression of caveman, in case you hadn't got that yet. But yeah, this show no emotion, what's that going to achieve? Like, one, if your partner thinks that you have no emotion in there and you don't care, how is that going to benefit anybody? Two, as I said previously, if you build up all those problems in your head and you do not share them with anybody, what is that going to achieve? What if just talking could help? You might not even need medication. You might not even need to talk for a long time. Let's just say sometimes when a person's not in your situation, they can see something you're not seeing. They may see a solution you're not seeing. They can potentially look outside the box to find a solution for whatever is happening in your life, whatever you need, the support you need, anything at all. And going back to, man can have as many relations as he wants before man gets married. When you've got single friends, but you're no longer single, but you've got all the pressure from those friends. Oh, come out, have a good time, blah, blah, blah. Be single, do this, do that. It's when you've got all those men together and you're the only one that isn't single, there's a lot of pressure there. And I understand it probably does take a lot of guts and a lot of willpower to say no to certain things. But saying no is the answer. And I'm not saying say no to nights out, because everybody needs their own time. But outside activities, usually say no. If you understand, you understand. And then they keep working. Keep working, keep working until it's retirement. Not everybody can work till retirement. Some people have illnesses. Some people have disabilities. You might have family. Maybe your parents have taken unwell or they need 24-hour care and you can't afford to care and you think you have to keep working. Or maybe you can afford to retire, but you think you have to work until. What's the point? If you can afford to retire and you want to retire early, why not do it? Because all that extra money, sometimes it just adds extra stress depending on your job. You can't take the money with you. And I get we all want to leave as much as possible for our kids, to give our kids a good life and whatever else. But you could potentially still do that. Again, looking outside the box, there's different ways to leave things for the kids. And as we said earlier, for both men and women, our bodies change over time. So when you're going through puberty, regardless of whether you're male or female, your body changes to a degree. Obviously, a lot of women's bodies change after having children. Now, this is where some of you might be like, oh, Aileen, shut up. But men's bodies can change as well after having children. Dad bod, you know? We get very comfortable. We get very comfortable just snacking. We get very comfortable eating something quick on microwave dinners or whatever it may be, because we have to come straight in from work and then take the kids to the football or take the kids to gymnastics or whatever it may be. You might be picking them up from grands or you might be picking them up from the childminder. Maybe you then need to do the homework, do the baths, do the this, do the that, do the dinner, and you just think, microwave dinner it is. And that's fine, because as long as you're eating, that's the most important thing, because you need to fuel your body or you can't do anything. But then again, social media can be a good thing. It can also be a bad thing. Same as magazines, the same as any kind of media, external media. We only really see certain body shapes on telly, especially when you talk about things like Love Island. We only see certain, not so much now, magazines are getting a wee bit better. I do personally think they still have a long way to go, but there's certain body shapes that are seen more frequently for both males and females, which can then put a lot of pressure on you if you don't look that way. If you want to go to the gym, or if you want to go on a night out, you want to wear certain clothes, whatever. And again, men, I think because a lot of people think men should be muscly, men should be this, men should be that, then a lot of men maybe feel a bit uneasy going to the gym. They maybe feel as if they're not quite as manly. And that's not true. Me personally, yeah, muscles nice and whatever, but it's not something I look for in a man. But again, it's all down to preference. Like, some people absolutely adore muscle. I don't. If you showed me somebody who was like a, what do you call them, Mr., we'll just call him Mr. Muscles, but you know what I mean, you know, when they go to the He-Man competitions or whatever they're called, that turns my stomach. And that's not to say that these people aren't nice, it's just not what I like in anybody that I'm going to have a relationship with. It's not, turns my stomach's maybe a bit strong. It's just, I don't find it sexy, let's say that. I like an inverted commas normal body. But yeah, we all like different things, again. I'm rabbiting on. But that's kind of how this next week or two is going to go. Going to try and get, like I said, some more information. But we do need to focus a bit more on mental health as a whole. But we need to try and get men talking. Because like I said, women, although some women, they find it hard to get started. And then once they start, once they feel at ease or whatever else, they might find it a bit easier to then start letting go and talking about their whatever's concerning them. Men, it's getting them to talk, getting them to open up, getting them to a point where, and it's not even just making them feel at ease, it's getting them to stop thinking what other people are going to think about them if they do struggle with their mental health. Stop thinking about people judging you because you're struggling with your mental health. Stop thinking people are going to, I don't know, laugh at, I don't know what it is men think. I mean, if somebody could please write in and tell me what men think, because clearly I'm not male, My mum does say I should have been a boy, but I'm not. Yeah, we need to change the way men think. Maybe we need to change the way women think as well, because are we portraying that onto men that they shouldn't open up? Are we making men feel that way? And this isn't me playing a blame game. It's general questions. It's general putting a wee bit of food for thought out there. Maybe we're the problem. I'm joking. We're not the problem. But obviously, we do hear men saying that quite a lot, don't we? You're the problem. That was a joke. We just need to all start coming together. We need to start all being there for each other, and we need to stop this. Oh, if you struggle with your mental health, then you're a whatever. If you're struggling with your mental health, you're human. If you're struggling with your mental health, you've got feelings, you've got emotions, you've got whatever. You've got problems like the rest of us. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you less of a man or less of a woman or less of a mum or less of a dad or whatever you've got planted in that head of yours. It makes you human. It makes you the same as the rest of us. Maybe it's your work. I mean, it could be your workload's too much, and that goes for females as well. Are you doing too much? Are you trying to, like I said at the start, trying to be superwoman? Like me, who ends up collapsing halfway to ASDA. We just need to figure this one out together. We need to all start coming together. But yeah, I'm not going to rabble on too much, because I think I've overloaded you with some information but not actually gave much information out. But that's what next week's about. Next week I will have statistics, ages, different things. Have you got a teenager, preteen just now, and you're going through what we said at the start, like you're born and then you kind of go to nursery, go to school, and then the hormones start, the body starts changing. Like, that is a big deal for kids. Doesn't matter whether they're male or female, that is a huge deal, and that's when they can start comparing themselves to others. And then if you allow that situation to keep going of comparing yourself, that's potentially going to be how you see yourself for the rest of your life, constantly comparing yourself to others. And we don't want that for our kids, grandkids, anybody, friends, family. So let's try and all work together and combat this. Let's stop this expectations. I have high expectations. I have this. I expect you to do this and I expect you to do that. The same as people expect a female to be with a male and a male to be with a female. That's not always what happens. And touching on this quickly, but I wasn't really going to talk about this, but sexuality. Like, stop expecting people to be in a certain type of relationship. Let them be in the relationship they want to be in. So if a man wants to be with a man, allow it. If a female wants to be with a female, allow it. It's 2024. Why are we still seeing people that are having to, in inverted commas, come out as gay? Why can we not just, oh, they're in a new relationship? The same as the rest of us. Why are we making them feel a certain way? And obviously we still get people who hide the fact that they're gay and end up in a different type of relationship. And that shouldn't happen anymore either. Like, it's so sad that people can't be who they want to be for the fear of what others might say. But anyway, I wasn't going to talk about that, but I've touched on it. We'll maybe add that to the list. And obviously I said equality. We're going to talk about equality, but I'm not going to talk about that this week. I'm going to leave that one a wee nugget for next week, because I think if I get started on that one, we might be here for another hour or two. Quite passionate. Yeah, so next week we'll continue this one. If you want me to give your views on this, and again, we're not here to dictate how you should be or how you should see the world or whatever else. We're just here to try and let us all kind of be a bit more mindful and see things in a different way. Just because you're not going through something doesn't mean to say somebody else isn't. We're not here to tell you how you should see the world, how you should think. No question's a silly question, and no answer's necessarily a wrong answer. So if you want to write in, you want me to tell a story, a fact, or whatever, then you can get us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or you can email rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. Talking about writing in, if anybody have a business, regardless of whether it's big, small, one man band, whatever, I have packages if you would like to advertise on our social media and podcast. My social media and podcast. Yeah. I do have multiple business pages, so it can be on all business pages depending on what it is, because obviously one of the pages is a therapy page, so I need to be careful and mindful of what I'm putting on there. And also it can be put onto my personal pages as well. I am going to, like I said at the very beginning, be putting stuff on YouTube, so I would love if you could all subscribe. It is free to the YouTube channel. Again, it's just Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast. You might need to put an at sign at the start of it to try and find it, because it's got such low numbers at the minute. And if you are a business, I can also add an advert on there for you as well. Advertising any videos I put on there, your business and what you're selling or offering. If you are interested in that, just drop us a quick message. Again, same way, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, which is just the Reboot Your Thoughts Podcast, or email rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. I am now going to go and rest my throat because I've spoke for over an hour. I'm going to start writing my next list for, I do have a few more episodes planned, but I'm going to start writing a list of what's after that. So if you have any ideas, please come forward and let me know. The numbers are going up of everybody listening to the podcast, so I just want to thank every single one of you for continuing to listen. I really enjoy doing this. I mean, I enjoy talking, as you can see, which is why I'm good at my job, therapy business. But I want to try and help as many people as possible. So if you have topics and they might not be on my list, please write in and tell us what you would like me to talk about. If you do want to book in with myself for any kind of therapy, then just contact the page and I will give you all the details that you need. I do also, although I do counsel adults and coach adults, I do have appointments available for children, teens, families, couples, etc., and groups. So that just gives you a brief outline. But if there's something that you would like me to try and help you with, or even if you just have a question that you're not sure about, contact myself. Like I said, no questions, a silly question. And even if it's a question and you don't want to, it's nothing to do with booking an appointment, that's absolutely fine. Like I said, I'd rather help than you not have any help at all or not know where to go. So just get in touch, don't be shy. And I am now going to go and make dinner. I know some of you call it tea, but we call it dinner. Going to go and make dinner for me and the boy. The other boy's working. And I will speak to you all next week. Sorry, just one more thing. I'm possibly going to go start going live again on TikTok, potentially Facebook and Instagram as well. I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it. The same as thinking about TikTok, not TikTok. Now I'm confusing myself. Same as thinking about YouTube. I'm hoping to start doing a bit more on the socials. If I don't in the next week or two, then definitely in the coming weeks, I'm going to try and get on that a bit more. Obviously, it's good to interact with everybody. So it'd be nice to hear your opinions, nice to hear anything that is not just about the podcast, but just, I suppose, life in general, because this is what this is all about, mental health and life in general. So yeah, it'd be nice to see some of you there. And yes, I am now going to go. I've burned your ears long enough. So enjoy the rest of your week. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope I haven't rambled on too much. And I will hopefully speak to you all soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.